We're going to be in the book of Luke this evening. We're going to be in Luke pretty much all night. We'll move around a few chapters, but if you've got a bookmark, Luke is a good place to stick it. Luke chapter 9, what I might ask you to do this evening is stand for the reading of the word, and then we'll pray and then you can have a seat. All right, Luke chapter 9 and verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Let's pray. Dear Father, we do want to thank you again for this day you've given us. Thank you that we can be here this evening and fellowship with each other. Lord, be speaking to us this evening. Give me the right words to say, Father. I pray that you'd, Lord, help us not to be distracted tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You may have a seat. If we look at the verses before this passage, we see one of the most famous miracles. We talk to the Sunday school kids about it. We talk to youth group kids about it. Jesus feeds the 5,000 or the multitude with five loaves and two fish. Two fishes, if you want to say it that way. Five loaves of bread and two fish. And then in verses 20 and 21, or 18 to 22 really, Jesus has an honest conversation with his disciples about who he is. He starts talking to his disciples and asking them questions to see where they're at. He wants to see where the disciples are at. They've been with him now for a few chapters. They've seen the miracles that he's done. And now he's fed 5,000, he's resting, and he says to them conversationally, "Who do the people say I am? Who do you think I am?" And Peter, with a $1 million answer, says, "The Christ of God." Now, this is not the first person or group of people to recognize this in the book of Luke. If you got your fingers there ready, in Luke chapter 2, there's actually two examples. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, we see the first group that notes who Jesus is in verse 11. Luke 2:11, the angels are speaking and they say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then we go down to the same chapter to verse 26. Actually, go to verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And then down in verse 34, it says, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Two more chapters along, chapter 4, verse 41. So we see angels speaking it, Simeon speaks it, or knows it. And then in Luke 4, the demons. Luke 4, 41. "And devils also came out of many crying and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." So if we look back in chapter 9, the disciples are also charged not to spread this about. It's not time for Jesus to be crucified just yet. But because they have come to the conclusion that Jesus is Christ the God, the Christ of God, he opens up to them in verse 22 and says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the first day." The disciples are finally getting the picture that they are sitting in the presence of God. They've watched the miracles. They've seen 5,000 people eat and be full and 12 baskets be left over. And they're getting the picture, and now they realize they're sitting there and God is speaking to them face to face. And then Jesus tells them in verse 22, what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Yes, you finally got the picture. I am the Savior. Now I'm going to die. He mentions the things there. Suffer many things and be rejected and be slain and be raised the third day. Jesus lays it all out on the table here for them. This is who I am. This is what's going to happen. And then, this is the verse we want to talk about most tonight, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Here we see Jesus lay down the terms of discipleship. This is what Jesus is laying down. It's almost like a contract. If you're going to follow me, this and this and this must happen. We see three things there. We see, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So we're going to talk about these three things tonight and the differences between them and other things. So the first thing Jesus says here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's an easy thing to say, it's a hard thing to do. When I looked up the word deny, it came a couple extra words to make it a bit more hard. One of them was to abstain from yourself. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to abstain from most things, but you live with yourself every day. It's hard to abstain from that. The other one that I found was disown. To disown yourself. To go, someone who's disowned doesn't get anything. If my parents disowned me, I wouldn't get the freezer or one of the cars or all the other stuff that they have that I desperately, desperately want. I love you, Mum. I would not get anything. So when Jesus says, let people disown themselves, that means I have to look at myself and go, I'm not allowed anything. I don't get anything from me. To deny yourself is a hard thing to do. And it happens when people have a goal they really want to work towards. When you see someone preparing for the Olympics, they deny themselves. They deny themselves pizza and sleep-ins and all those things that the rest of us just kind of live on. Just me? All right, that's fine. They deny themselves these things because they're looking at the goal. They're looking beyond. And I like watching the Olympics. I like seeing most sports. And you see them after they win. And they come up to them and go, what are you going to do now you've won? And they go, I'm going to go out for pizza. They don't have to deny themselves anymore. They've got to that goal. And so they go, I'm going to go have a party tonight. And then I'm going to start training for 4 years' time. They're going to go all over again. They're denying themselves because there's something more important. So when Jesus is talking to us about denying ourselves, there are things that we do that we don't need to do. I remember talking to Dave Onus. Now he's the pastor down at Mackay. And he said to me, the moment things started turning around for me was when I started getting up really early to read my Bible. It was hard. He struggled. It was cold. He wanted to go back to bed. It was warm in bed. He had to go to work in a few hours. He wanted the sleep, but it helped him grow. He was denying himself a few hours of sleep to grow his relationship with God. It was more important. In Job 23, let's turn over there real quick and read one verse of what Job says. Job is just before Psalms, so just before the middle of your Bible. Job in chapter 23. Job 23, in verse 12, Job is speaking, and he says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Most of us can stand to go a little bit less of the food we think is necessary and a little bit more time with God. A little bit less sleep that we think we need. I think I'm averaging about 7 hours a night, which is pretty good, I think, for the most part. I know Callum gets about half an hour or something like that. So he should be really spiritual. Just saying, lots of time to read the Bible. But there are things that we deem necessary that aren't as necessary as we think. People survive on a lot less sleep and food and socializing than we do. And we can stand to cut it back a bit, to deny ourselves, to abstain, to disown our bodies from the things we think we are owed. We are not owed those things. Let's go a few chapters ahead to Luke chapter 18 and look at a young man here. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18 says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. There was one thing the rich young ruler would not deny himself, and that was his money. That's what Jesus wanted him to deny. Jesus wanted him to abstain from the riches that he got. We don't know how he got it. We don't know if it was an inheritance. We don't know if he worked very, very hard for it. What we do know is that God knew it was a stumbling block to him. God knew he needed to get rid of that in order, like he said there, to follow Jesus. And we're going to look at that in a minute. And that's what stopped the rich young ruler from being a disciple. He couldn't meet the terms and conditions. He could not deny himself. So he couldn't even get to the next two stages. So before we look at the next stage, we want to stop and we think about ourselves. How often do I say no to myself? How often do I go, no, I have to get up. I have to read my Bible. Yes, it's cold. Or no, I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm going to go read my Bible. I'm going to go spend time with the Lord. No, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to hang out with my friends. There is something more important. There's something I need to abstain from in order to have my relationship with God better in order to be a disciple. This is not a suggestion. This is a term and condition of being a disciple. So firstly, deny himself. And then if we look back in chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, let's read the whole verse up to that point. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. There's a couple of reasons that we talk about someone taking up their cross. People talk about, this is my cross I have to bear. They talk about a burden, about somebody paying attention to them in the wrong way. When Jesus is talking here about taking up our cross daily, he wants us to realize a couple of things. It's to identify with Jesus. When we take up our cross daily, we're identifying with Jesus. It's hard to blend into a crowd if you're carrying a cross. You don't blend into a crowd carrying a large piece of timber, a large piece of heavy timber. So we identify with Jesus, and that's something that's lacking from our Christianity today. We no longer identify with Jesus. We identify with the pastor or our friends at church, but we don't identify with Jesus. And if someone walks down the street and they see us on a Sunday, most of the time they don't identify us with Jesus. They see us and they think it's just another person on a Sunday doing whatever they want to do. Secondly, we take up our cross daily to accept suffering. We're accepting that the cross means we're not going to have an easy life. We're not going to have all rose petals and some other type of flower. I'm sure there's other types, but I can't think what they are right now. There's not too many reasons somebody carries a cross. You don't carry a cross if you're going to a beach party. You carry a cross if you're going to have some suffering. Even the man who helped Jesus carry his cross knew some suffering that day. The cross was heavy. Jesus was probably getting things thrown at him. He probably got hit by some of those things. He probably got some of Jesus' blood on him as he carried that cross. The cross typifies suffering. And as Jesus is talking to his disciples here, he's saying, you must be prepared, firstly, to identify with me, and secondly, to suffer a little bit for it. And I love in Luke, he says daily, take up his cross daily. It's not a Sunday thing. You don't just take up your cross on Sunday, wander to church with it, and take it home and leave it in the cupboard for the rest of the week. You take up your cross daily. This is part of denying yourself. This is part of being uncomfortable. You're accepting the suffering that the Lord is going to go through, and you're accepting you're going to be a part of that. It's a daily renewing of our hearts, and it's a reminder when you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, I'm here to work for Jesus. I'm not here to make money. I'm not here to get a promotion or to have a lovely lunch. I'm here to work for Jesus. And when you do that, you're taking up your cross daily. And that's what Jesus is asking his disciples to do if they want to be disciples. Back in verse 23, We're going to read it again because we want to get this verse into our heads. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Walk in my footsteps. When I was in Africa, I didn't heed the warnings as much as I should. I drank bad water. I did all kinds of stupid things. And one of the times that I was out with some of the local guys, his name was Patrick. And we were walking past a river or a creek, just lots of mud. And he said, okay, we're going to cross the creek. Follow me. And I was like, yeah, right. And I started walking next to him, and he stopped, and he said, no, follow me. Because there's places you got to stand, and there's places you don't want to stand. If you stand in the wrong spot, you're going in. And I don't think there was anything too dangerous in there, but, I mean, I got gouty from just the water, so it could have killed me. Who knows? It sounds like the easy part. Just follow. Follow Jesus. But in verse 22, Jesus had just told them he's about to die. This isn't just follow me as I do more miracles. This is, I'm about to suffer, be rejected, and die. If you want to be a disciple, you have to follow in my footsteps. You have to be prepared to follow those things. And in verse 22, it says, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain. Jesus, he's telling them, you're going to suffer many things. You're going to be rejected. You may be slain. We don't think about it in our modern first world Australia, but there are people in the world today who are still slain, who still follow in Jesus' footsteps in this regard. They die because they will not give up the name of Jesus. Why would anybody do that? Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That's why we do it. Because our life isn't as important as we think it is. What's the alternative? What's the alternative to the terms and conditions in verse 23? Let's look at verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. That's the alternative. The alternative is Jesus will be ashamed of us. We may still believe in Jesus, but these are Jesus' terms. And if we love God but we don't do these things, we're not a disciple. We're a fan. It's not as good. Are we just fans of Jesus? Or are we disciples? What are we willing to give up? I'm a fan of some things. I'm a fan of certain sports teams and certain sports. And occasionally I'll take a day off to watch the Super Bowl or something like that. I'm a fan, but I'm not a disciple of the NFL. All right? And there are many people who are. There are many people who are disciples of the World Cup and will deny themselves sleep to get up and watch at strange hours of the day all kinds of weird things because they are a disciple. That's the difference between disciples and fans. Our church, most churches, all churches are filled with a little bit of both. There are some disciples who are willing to deny themselves a Wednesday night. They're willing to deny themselves a Friday night to go and help a youth group, to come to prayer meeting. And there are Jesus fans who come Sunday morning and get their ears tickled a little bit and enjoy the singing and go home. And they don't think about it the rest of the week. I don't lay awake at night thinking about the NFL. I'm not a disciple. But some people do. Sometimes I lay awake at night thinking about the terrible things I've done and what Jesus did for me. If we're just fans of Jesus, we listen when it's convenient, we deny ourselves nothing. Do we hide our crosses? Do we wake up in the morning and remember there's a cross in the corner I'm supposed to bear for the Lord today? I'm going to leave it in the closet today. I'm going to go to work without my cross. I'm going to go to work and not accept the suffering and not accept the identification with Jesus. I'm going to go incognito today. I'm not going to talk about Jesus. If anybody asks me, I'm just going to say I had a good weekend. I'm not going to talk about what I did. And it's such a tempting thing to do. And we know that disciples of Jesus come and go in waves. The miracles happen and he's followed, and Jesus says something that's hard and it goes away again, and it comes and it goes, because it's a hard thing to be a disciple, but it's an easy thing to be a fan. We want, as our church, we want our church to be growing. We don't want our church to be filled with fans. We don't want people who are here for a casual session to hear about Jesus and then to go home and forget it the rest of the week. We want disciples, people who are willing to do these three things: deny themselves, take up a cross daily, and follow in Jesus' footsteps. We don't want to follow sometimes. Following sometimes does nothing. If you follow your GPS sometimes, you still get lost. It's how it works. You have to follow it all the time or none of the time. And if we're only following Jesus some of the time, we're really not following him at all. We're just a fan. We're just here for lip service. We're just here because of what our family does, because we like how we look in a tie. Whatever the reason is, we come on a Sunday morning as a fan. And as I was reading this this morning, it really convicted me that Jesus didn't say, if any man will come after me, let him think about, or let him sometimes, or let him try. These are three definite things that must be done to be a disciple. There's not any room for wiggling here. Jesus doesn't say anything that allows us to skirt the issue. These are three definite, hard-line things that make us uncomfortable. Modern Christianity is a comfortable thing. We're comfortable with a part-time cross. We're comfortable denying ourselves when people are watching. Jesus doesn't say that. There is no time frame on the commands. There is no expiration date for these terms and conditions. They continue until we die. Deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. I always wonder how the disciples felt sitting here. It's a lot of information to take in. They'd seen all this stuff. Jesus is speaking to them, acknowledging that he is the Son of God, and says these. I can't imagine someone coming up and going, I'm God and I'm about to die. It's like spiritual whiplash. Whoosh, you're God, you're going to die. And it knocks them around. These are not big theologians. These are fishermen and lawmen and men who work with their hands. And Jesus is giving them a lot of information. And then he gives them three things they can understand. That's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't keep it airy-fairy. He's not talking big words. All these words here, the fishermen knew. The fishermen understood what these words all meant. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Very easy commands for them to follow. Very easy for them to understand. There wasn't any room for them to go, he didn't actually mean that. It's very straightforward. We're going to look at one more thing and then we're going to close. At the beginning of verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man. This is not a commandment just for the disciples at Jesus' feet at this moment. This is a command for humanity throughout history. If any man will follow me, these are the steps. That's an encouragement. Jesus is expecting people throughout all generations of history to take this up, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. We need to bring back Christianity that is hard. We need to bring back Christianity that Jesus spoke of. It's not an easy thing to deny ourselves. It's not an easy thing to carry our cross daily. That's what Jesus wants. Those are the three things Jesus laid down. Those are the terms, those are the conditions for being a disciple. That's it. You either sign onto it or you don't. We know that later on, Peter denies Jesus. These instructions do not make us perfect. These instructions do not make it so that we live perfectly forever. That's why Jesus said daily. Yes, we fail sometimes. Yes, I missed an opportunity to witness yesterday. But I'm going to take that cross back up tomorrow. I'm going to go again. As Jesus looked at his disciples, he knew what was going to happen to them. He looked and he saw Peter and he saw John and he saw these people. And he knew what was going to happen to them. He knew some of them would be slain. He understood that, but he didn't stop giving the commandments because it was hard. He didn't stop giving the terms and conditions because it was uncomfortable. It was the truth, and they needed to hear it. And they blessed all of Christianity because of their obedience to these three terms and conditions. Let's read that verse one more time, and then we're going to close. Let's read verse 22 as well. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do want to thank you again for this day that you've given us. Help us, Father, to be looking at these things for ourselves. Help us to be working on our relationship with you, Father. Help us to be paying attention to what you have to speak to us about tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.